Shalom, brethren. A very good morning to you all. This is Brother James Veremo from Zimbabwe. We thank the Lord for giving us again this time that we fellowship together around the Word of God. I hope by the grace of God, you are hearing me clearly. I've tried to sort of raise my voice that you may hear. I hear there's a sister here who says the volume is too low on the last session. But I believe the Lord will help us, that we will get every word and get the purpose of this, our fellowship this morning. May God bless you all. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before thee, O Father, thanking you for this glorious morning you have given us, and we give all the glory back to you, Father, for your grace and your mercy, even as we gather together in this fellowship of your word. May your spirit, Father God, be with us and bless us as we share this your word. May you give us the true revelation and the understanding of your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And now, we just want to turn in our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. We will read in verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, we are talking, or we are sharing on this subject of the sons of God. What goes with sonship, and what is the blessing that is in sonship? As John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Now, we have seen through the week what God has bestowed upon us is He has given Himself to us. We are children of God by virtue of that birth, which means we were in Him and we are by Him. We saw that we are not just a product, but we are the very expression of God Himself. That it is love, and God is love, that gave us the sonship. Now, when we look at this verse in the book of Revelation, here again it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So you can see chastisement and rebuke are by God to His own children, whom He loves. Because He says, as many as I loved, as I love, I'll rebuke and chasten. So we see sonship gives us the access to the rebuke of God. Now, God does not just rebuke for the sake of rebuking. Now, I think we all know that the word of God is preached. And the scripture says, when the word of God is preached, it will be two things. One, for the redemption of those who are predestinated, and for the condemnation of those who refuse. For Jesus Christ said, God sent His Son not to judge the world, but that the world may be saved. But then He says, those who believe shall not come to judgment, but those who don't believe will be judged. And what is the judgment? The judgment is this, that they accepted not, or they heard not, or they received not the Son of God, which is the very love of God. So, again, we understand that when wrong has been done, there is judgment, or there is punishment to those who have done wrong. Now, in a deeper sense, punishment is not usually for correction, but it is for judgment. But chastisement is for those whom God loves. And when one is chastised by God, him being a son of God, there is that ability, there is that underlying fact that he will repent. And we saw before that repentance is coming back to that what we were. So that's what the prodigal son did. He repented of his wrong and went back to the father. Now, here it says, those whom God loves, he rebukes and also he chastises for the purpose of correcting them. And there is one thing in those whom God chastises upon the basis of his love. We hear what here Paul says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 5 he says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint where thou art rebuked of him." Now we see that the scripture says, those whom God loves, he chastises and he rebukes. That is for their repentance. And yet the scripture now encourages us that the words of exhortation which speak unto children, it says, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." So this chastisement is unto, is an exhortation, you know, to be exhorted into the reality, into the perfection, into the completeness of our sonship in God. Verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So chastisement, scourging, is the way that God receives us to be his children. Verse 7, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Can you see? All those whom God receives, he chastens. And that chastisement will confirm, will strengthen, will cement our sonship so that we are not bastards. So there is this fact that there are some who can come into the fold, but not by birth. They are not sons, but they are bastards. You see. So, verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" Amen. Verse 10, "For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but ye for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here we see the purpose of chastisement. It is for our perfection. It is for the fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised by the same chastisement. So, even our fathers, the scripture says they, for a time, they chastised us and we gave them reverence. Now, if now our chastisement is for our perfection, that spirit of sonship is a spirit of subjection. It's a spirit that accepts. You know, when our fathers chastised us, we did not have the understanding. That's why it says here, it's grievous. We did not have the understanding of the goodness of this chastisement in our later years of life. But there's one thing that made us to reverence our parents. There's one thing that made us to accept it, though it's grievous. It is that spirit of sonship. It is that power of being a son that makes one subject, though without the full understanding. Doesn't the Lord Jesus Christ say, these things you don't understand now, but you shall understand later. So Peter was advised by the Lord Jesus Christ, you just let me wash your feet. You don't understand it now, but you shall understand later. And Peter, because he was the Lord, he did not understand, but he later subjected himself to that instruction that God was giving him. So is it with our sonship? It is that spirit of sonship, which is the expression of the love of God, which is even the essence of God himself. As he chastens his own, there is that ability, there is that humility, there is that acceptance that God is chastising us for our very good, though we may not understand it at that time. So, the children of God, they accept. The children of God, they receive chastisement because the scripture says it is God, it is God's love that brings this chastisement to us. Now, if we can look in the book of Genesis, in chapter 4, in verse 13, it says, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face I shall be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Amen. Now here is Cain. He has done something that is bad. Here is Cain. Before he killed his brother, the Lord showed him by the rejection of his sacrifice that there is something wrong with the sacrifice. And Cain, you know, was rebuked or was corrected by the way of Abel when they discussed, when they were in the field, they talked about this sacrifice, why God had rejected the sacrifice. And we see here that Cain rose up against Abel and killed him. He could not accept correction. He could not see the light because he was of the evil one. And later on, after he had killed his brother, the Lord comes to him and says, what is this that you have done? Where is your brother? He did not accept the responsibility of slaughtering, of what he had done to kill his brother. He says, I don't know. He refused, he rejected. When confronted by God himself, who knows all things, and he was asked, where is your brother? He doesn't accept that responsibility. He says, am I responsible? Am I my brother's keeper? Then God says, you have killed your brother. And the earth that has received his blood shall not give you her strength. And what does he, how does he respond? And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. We are told in the scripture that we as children, the sons of God, we should accept the chastisement of God. For no chastisement is for our destruction, but it is for our correction. It is for our exhortation. It is for our good. But here Cain refuses it. He doesn't want to be chastised. He doesn't want to be corrected. And you see, here he says, my punishment is great. He did not even consider it as chastisement. He did not even consider it as correction. But he took it as punishment from God. And he resisted it because of the way of his understanding of God's chastisement and correction. The Lord Jesus Christ said to those who had believed in him, who refused to continue in the word, he says, because you have done this, there is no that continuity in you. You are of your father, the devil. So here we see, he refused. We also see this in Balaam. When God told him, you should not curse Israel, but he bulldozed his way. He just wanted to do it his own way. And then when there was that incident, when the donkey brushed his foot against that rock, and he was angry with the donkey, and even the donkey told him, like the Bible says, he was rebuked by a dumb donkey, which spoke in the voice of a man and corrected him. And we know that was nothing but God who made that donkey to produce that voice of a person. And there was no repentance in him. He just wanted to go on. He even told the donkey, if I had a sword, I would have killed you. There was no remorse in him. There was no acceptance, because he was not a child. He was not a son of God. But we thank the Lord and glorify his name, that the watchful eye of the Father is always upon us. And he is there to correct us at every juncture and at every corner, to bring us into that true righteousness. As he corrects us, he chastises us, and as he rebukes us, whenever we try to go the wrong way, there is a rebuke that comes from the Lord. And that is what Paul told Timothy. I am going. I have done my part. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. But you now, you remain. You should preach the word in season and out of season. You should rebuke. Amen. You should bring the word as a chastisement rod upon the children of God, because that's what they need. So rebuke and chastisement from God is for our edification. It is for our perfection. But there is that resistance always in the people that are not born of God. They don't accept correction. They don't accept chastisement. But Paul admonishes us, even as we are the sons of God, we should endure chastisement. We should reverently accept chastisement, for it is for our own good, and it will make us to be the true sons and daughters of God, because we are built thereby, and we are admonished by the same. It was so in David, when he did what he did with Bathsheba. He did wrong that in that thing, and he tried to cover up. But if you are a child of God, like God told David later on about his son Solomon, he says, Solomon, I loved him. Solomon, I'll deal with him as a son. If he does wrong, I'll chastise him after the manner of men. I'll correct him. That's why even when Solomon did what he did later in his life, God chastised him, but he was never thrown out. So David, when he did what he did, he was rebuked by Nathan the prophet. And when he was rebuked, he says, I have sinned. He accepted his guilt. He accepted not only his guilt, but he accepted the chastisement that went with it. For he was told the son that was born would die. But as a child of God, as a son of God, he prayed for the grace of God. He prayed that God would heal his son. After he'd accepted that he was wrong, and God did not grant him that request, the child died. When the child died, he did not fume. He did not backslide. He did not go back. He did not curse the thing. But he says, it is the Lord that has done it. My child is gone. I cannot bring him back. But it is I who has to go to him. And he took his food for the first time after the long fast. And he bathed. And he went to the house of God. And he worshipped God. You see, when he went there, the scripture says he worshipped God. He did not go there again to pray for the resurrection of his son. He did not go there to pray for anything, but he went there to worship God, to bring the honor to God, to glorify God. In his pain, in his bereavement, he worshipped God and glorified God. So was it with Job. He says, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken. So blessed be the name of the Lord. There is that in the children of God, that acceptance of chastisement, knowing that that chastisement will bring the fruits of righteousness. Now, when we talk of fruits of righteousness, we are not talking of just something that we just acquire, but fruits are born. We don't just do good works. We have the fruits of good works, because that good is in us by the essence of being children of God. Through his love, we have the ability to bring forth the fruits of righteousness after accepting and recognizing the chastisement of God in our life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are children of God. We are born of his love. We are the expression of his deity. So we accept his correction. That is one thing that goes with sonship. It is chastisement. God will never let you just go drop and drop and drop and drop without warning you, without catching you on the way. For the great seeing eye of God is always upon his children, to bring them back into light, to bring them back into line. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The children of God accept chastisement. The children of God accept correction. So whatever befalls us, it is not outside the watching eye of the great God who is above us. So brothers and sisters, we have this opportunity. We have this privilege. We have this blessing that God will never forsake us, nor leave us when we fall into our wrong. When we do things wrong, when we do something that is not right, the God who loves us, the God who is our Father, is always there to correct us, to bring us back in line, to bring us back in the Word, to bring us back in life. We thank God for that. We glorify God for that. Thank God we are the children of God. Thank God we are sons and daughters of the Almighty, who cares for us, who looks upon us as children and corrects us. For the scripture has already told us, those whom I love, I chastise and I rebuke. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, what a privileged people we are. What a blessed people we are, that God, by His grace, looks upon us to correct us, to chastise us, and to bring into us that contentedness of being children of God as we accept His correction at every corner, at every juncture. May God bless you all as you take correction, as you take chastisement, not as a punishment, but as a correction, as a glorification of us as we walk in the light of His word. May the Almighty God bless you. Amen.